Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna. Introduction. Text number 51. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Agniryata Daruvi Yoga Yoga Yur Adrishta Tunyam Nanimittamasti Evami Jantur Apidurvi Bhavya Sharira Samyoga Viyoga Hetu. And this is Vasudev, the future father of Lord Krishna, who is considering. These are his thoughts. I mean, I think most of you are following these verses, so you know that Kamsa decided to kill Devaki as soon as he heard a voice from the sky, the Akashvani, that the eighth pregnancy will cause his death, will kill him. So Vasudeva stopped him with some philosophy, but then he saw it was not, Kamsa was not yet ready to accept, to stop his murder. So now Vasudeva is thinking within himself, making different considerations. So this is one of them. So this is Vasudeva's mind. Translation. When a fire, for some unseen reason, leaps over one piece of wood and sets fire to the next, the reason is destiny. Similarly, when a living being accepts one kind of body and leaves aside another, there is no other reason there than unseen destiny. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When there is a fire in a village, the fire sometimes jumps over one house and burns another. Similarly, when there is a forest fire, the fire sometimes jumps over one tree and catches another. Why this happens, no one can say. One may set forth some imaginary reason why the nearest tree or house did not catch fire, whereas a tree or house in a distant place did. But actually, the reason is destiny. This reason also applies to the transmigration of the soul, by which a prime minister in one life may become a dog in the next. The work of unseen destiny cannot be ascertained by practical experimental knowledge, and therefore one must be satisfied by reasoning that everything is done by supreme providence. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Translation again, if you like to repeat. When a fire, for some unseen reason, leaps over one piece of wood and sets fire to the next, the reason is destiny. Similarly, when a living being accepts one kind of body and leaves aside another, there is no other reason than unseen destiny. Adrishta. Adrishta, it's a very important concept in Vedic philosophy. Literally means unseen and refers to destiny. I hear that in some Indian languages in modern Indian languages, sometimes adrishta means something a little different. Like I heard that in Kannada, adrishta means fortune, luck. In Hindi, adrishta means what? Unseen. So it doesn't have that positive aspect. So adrishta is a very neutral concept, something unseen. We all have prarabdha and aprarabdha karma. We have been acting in this universe since time immemorial, and we did accumulate a certain tank, we could say, of reactions. Some are good and some are bad, relatively good and bad, in quote unquote. Some will give pleasure in this world, and some will give pain. And there are different divisions of karma, but the two basic divisions is prarabdha and aprarabdha. Prarabdha means already fructified. For instance, our body. We can see the karma of people. Somebody is born poor, full of health issues, legal problems, foolish. We can understand this person was not very pious in the previous life. He may have other credits, but in terms of karma, he did not accumulate a karma to enjoy in this world. He accumulated a karma to suffer. Narada Muni says in the conversation, which is reported in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that by understanding the mind of a person, you can understand his past and his future. Because the mind of the person at the present stage represents the collection, the accumulation, the total result of his mentality in the past. So by seeing what the people think, you can understand what they thought in the past. And by seeing what the people think now, you can understand the future. Because that mentality will produce their future. And so there is this concept of auspicious and inauspicious. Shubha, ashubha. Even when we buy a train ticket, there is shubha yatra, right? Now, this concept of shubha and ashubha, especially for pious Hindus, is one of the most dangerous obstacles to the path of devotional service. We come to devotional service contaminated by this idea that devotional service will give us good in the future. Wrong. I said three times just for emphasis. So you don't think I said right. I said wrong. I said wrong three times. So that's a wrong concept. It's a wrong concept. What happened is that in this world, we develop a karmic mentality. Karmic means we want to enjoy the fruits of our actions. Huh? Some do in a pious way. Some do in an impious way. The pious follow religion, follow some codes of conduct, moral ethics, and the impious just go for the sense gratification. And they try to achieve the pleasure, regardless of how sinful or criminal are the actions to achieve the purpose. So we get this mentality of action and result of the action. So when we come to devotional service, we still have this idea. We are still fundamentally karmis. If we do not understand, if we don't do this shift, very deep, very subtle, but very crucial shift, understanding that bhakti is its own reward. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains that one major difference between bhakti yoga and any other path, Ashtanga yoga, Jnana yoga, Karma yoga, one difference is that in devotional service, in bhakti yoga, the means and the end are not different. We perform bhakti to get bhakti. We perform devotional service to get more devotional service. Everybody else, even if they are transcendentalists, they do what they do to get to some result. So we need to be very careful about this mentality. And sometimes, I know somebody who needs to hear this. Just give me a sec. Always use earphones when you hear you use your phone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Mataji. This is Kaunteya Das. I'm in Mumbai, and I was here at the Shishi Radha Gopinath Mandir, and I was giving a lecture, a Bhagavatam lecture, and I was stressing the importance of understanding how devotional service is not meant to get a reward in this world. And so I thought of you. Yeah. But I must say, I thought of you in a negative way. I thought of you as an example of a mentality that should not be adopted. Because last year when you came to your house with my wife, you were talking about your children, education. You were saying how, you remember? Yeah, you were saying, oh, I'm doing so much bhakti. Still my children don't study well. You know, at that time I tried to explain to you that, I mean, we don't do devotional service, we don't chant 60 rounds so that our children get better marks. That's not the goal. And so I was thinking of you because we see here Vasudeva is, I mean, I'm talking about from the 10th canto, first chapter, and we see here Vasudeva, six of his children got killed. He was a pretty good devotee. He was actually, Prabhupada says, a religion personified. No, I'm not cursing your son to die like Vasudeva's sons. No, I'm simply making the point that you should understand, and I'm respectfully saying this, you should understand that the mentality should not be that we take bhakti to be some sort of dharma. Some sort of dharma that we do dharma, then we get artha, and then we get kama. In fact, it is, in one sense, is the opposite. It's the opposite. When we do bhakti, both our good karma and all our bad karma gets destroyed. And that's the message of the Bhagavad Gita. Where? It's in the ninth canto, in the ninth chapter. You have a Gita? You have a Gita? You know that verse. Can I have a Gita? There is a verse. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhusi dadasi yat tapasasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. You know that verse. You know, whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you eat, offer that to me. 9:27. And in the next verse, Srila, yes, we have many scholars here, and in the next verse, Shubha Shubha Falair Evam Mukshase Karma Bandhanai Krishna says that when you do that, yat karoshi yad ashnasi. And Srila Prabhupada explained actually that yat karoshi yad ashnasi, it's even one sense a preliminary stage of karma yoga. But when you do that, when you offer everything to Krishna, when you offer everything to Krishna, what happened? Shubha ashubha phalair evam. The phala, the fruits, both the good, quote-unquote, the shubha and ashubha, moksha se karma bhandanahi. You get free from both of them. So, bhakti destroys your good karma also. And it destroys your bad karma. No, sarva dharma paritaja sarva dharma paritaja mamikam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva pape bhyo moksha ishami masra. It destroys the sins, but it destroys also your good karma. And we have a close relation, our families, but I understand that sometimes, I mean, frankly, I think you are still a karmi at heart. Yeah, because okay, you are a devotee. Okay, you are a devotee, but okay, tell me what karmi means. What's your definition of karmi? No, karmi does not mean materialist. That karmi does not mean materialist. It may include materialist, but karmi means one who is attached to enjoy the fruits of his actions. In fact, karmi is traditional in Vedic culture, can be very fixed in Vedic knowledge. They know about the soul, they know about transmigration to other planets, but still they are karmis. Why? Because they are fruitive workers. They may do a lot of dharmas, a lot of yagyas, a lot of tapas, a lot of punyas, but they do it because they want to enjoy the fruits. So I take this opportunity to tell you that you need to understand these things. You need to understand these things. And there is another nice chapter 12. Suba parityagi. So give me a sec. Oh, this is Bhagavad, so I won't find it. Suba parityagi. 12. Anybody knows that verse? Huh? No, 12 chapter. Anybody knows that verse? Okay, text 17, chapter 12, text 17. You can check it later. Krishna says, Shubha Shubha Parityagi Bhakti Mam Yasame Priya. Who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. So, back to the point. We are not practicing devotional service to get auspicious results. The product of our devotional service will be to destroy all our karma and have no bondage in this world, because both good and bad are bondage. And I read this purport from Srila Prabhupada, then I have to go. A pure devotee is neither happy nor distressed over material gain and loss. A pure devotee is neither happy nor distressed over material gain or loss, nor is he very much anxious to get a son or disciple, nor is he distressed by not getting them. If he loses anything which is very dear to him, he does not lament. Similarly, if he does not get what he desires, he is not distressed. So, I wanted to show you, share this to you, and thank you for listening. And we may come next year. Okay. Yeah. I got to go. Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna. Food for thought. You overheard this conversation? Okay. So this is the idea. And sometimes, really, we may be devotees officially in practicing Bhakti Yoga since many years, but in the heart we are still karmis. Not because we are materialistic, but because we want to enjoy. We think that by doing this bhakti, by doing these things, then good things will come. Good things will come. But that's an illusion. There's no good things in this world. There's that verse, Lord Chaitanya says, but there are a line before that. Bhadra abhadra gyan sab manodharma ei balo ei manda ei sab brahm. Lord Chaitanya, our great Mahaprabhu, says, Bhadra abhadra gyan sab manodharma. The thinking that there is something bhadra, auspicious, and something inauspicious, it's all an imagination, manodharma. It's an imagination. E balo, e manda. Saying, this is good, this is not good, e sab brahma. Brahm, how do you say brahm? Mistake? Mistake, brahm. It's all a mistake. To think that this is good and this is bad, it's all a mistake. Why? Because everything in this world is bad. Just like in the prison. Ending up in prison, ending up in jail, is bad. So you may say, well, this cell, it's a little better than this one. Huh? At least it's got a little window, I can see a little sky. The other cell has got more humidity, more mold on the wall. So this is good, this is bad. So this is a mentality of regular criminals, you follow? Because they live in jail, they think this is good, this is bad. Actually being in jail is bad. So being inside the Brahmanda, being inside this universe, it's all bad. It's all bad. So thinking good and bad is bad. And thinking that by devotional service something good will come in this world is very bad. Because we become merchants. We become mercantile. We offer some japa, we offer some puja, we offer some garlands, we offer some seva, even some prachar. But in the heart, we expect that Krishna will reward us with something on this plane. Okay, so these are a few considerations on this verse. Any questions or comments? Nitai Priya Das Brahmachari
Das Hare Krishna. So can we expect to get more service or more bhakti from our service? Is that something
good? So your question, can we expect to get more
spiritual things?
What?
Spiritual things.
Such as?
More service. Sangha.
More service.
Mercy.
Mercy.
Devotional qualities.
What kind of mercy?
Like devotional qualities, humility, patience, tolerance.
Okay.
Can we aspire to get those results?
Yes, you can aspire to get those results. You can aspire to get those results because that nature, that mentality, that attitude is already within the soul. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prima Sadhya Kabunoi Shavanadi Shuddha Chitta Koroi Udoi. The love, the pristine, primordial, original, pure love is inside us. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prima Sadhya Kabunoi is not gotten from outside. Shravanadi, Shravana, etc. So Shravanam, Kirtan, and all the practice of devotional service. Shravanadi, Shuddha, Chitte. By doing Shravanam, Kirtana, hearing and chanting about the Lord, Shuddha, Chitte, our mind becomes purified. Koroye Udoy. And that causes those qualities, that love, the loving feelings, and the qualities that go with the loving feeling, for renunciation, detachment, and all the spiritual quality like humility and all the emotions, koroye udoy, they rise in the heart. Okay? Ekalavya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a wonderful class. My first question, I have two questions. My first question is, were you really on the phone?
No, it was all a drama.
Okay, thank you. My next question is...
How many of you got it? How many of you got it that I was not on the phone? Okay, my wife got it because she knows me. Okay.
Okay. My question is, what are the symptoms or indications that we can see, that we can understand that we are attempting to practice bhakti but are plagued by some ulterior motivations? How can we understand that we're trying to practice bhakti but actually we do have the materialistic desires and motivations?
Well, you need to be introspective, because you need to be a little bit analytical. See, Lord Chaitanya gives us this famous verse that Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam va Jagadisha kamaye, Mama Jammani Jammanishwari Bhavatat Bhaktir Ahaitu Kitwahi. So Lord Chaitanya, that's very deep instruction. It's just not poetry. It's not something just beautiful. And it's just obviously we should understand that not because I'm reciting the verse, I'm on that level. We should understand that. So that's like a yardstick. We should analyze. We should analyze. Do I want dhanam? Not dhanam, not jhanam. Do I want prestige? And prestige may take many forms. May take the form of a gross prestige, becoming very famous as a big scholar, big preacher, or can be something more subtle, that my children should become an engineer or a doctor. We were not there in Mumbai, but was initiated Mataji, and she consulted my wife. My wife, she's a psychotherapist, a counselor. Not formal counselor, like counselor system, but counselor, psychotherapist. She also knows astrology, palmistry. So this lady, initiated lady, came to her, and she was saying, my son doesn't study, and I want him to become an engineer or doctor. What was that? Doctor. Engineer, okay. So she had in mind that the son had to become an engineer. And my wife checked the chart, saw the child, and she determined this boy is not an engineer. This boy is an artist. She's very jovial nature. He's very jovial nature, can be very happy in life, very satisfied, happy, productive, but he has to go to artistic productions like drama and other things. That's what he is. And of course, we understand that through that, he can also make a lot of money. I mean, here we are in the actually world capital of film productions, so there is a lot of money in the arts. So, she told, look, that's not his nature. He's not an engineer. He doesn't have the brain for to become an engineer. And then the lady started arguing. No, but it's for his own good. I'm doing it for his own good. And my wife, as an honest astrologer, had to tell, no, you're doing it for your own good. You only do it for yourself. You're doing it for yourself because you think that in society you will be more respected if your son is an engineer than is, say, a playwright or a film director or a drama artist, a drama director. And then at one point she couldn't say anything because it's true. She knew. So she was having these delusional thoughts, this denial thought that she was actually a very dutiful mother and she was doing it for her son. It was not true. It was total janam. Perception of materialistic people. She imagined that if the son becomes an engineer, that's better for her prestige, for her social position, then he becomes something else. So we need to be analytical, because you don't often get an astrologer, even an astrologer, to tell you that. If you go to a normal astrologer, sometimes even a devotee astrologer, be very careful. Because they will say, okay, buy this stone, tie it, this stone on the child's head or somewhere on his own finger. And also this other stone, which is also very nice. It's a little more expensive, but it's okay. And then do this yagya and worship this and worship that, and your son will become an engineer. And so the lady will go very happy, oh, my son finally will become an engineer. And she starts all this basically karmic stuff. Because she does not understand, although she is an initiated devotee, she doesn't understand the basics of Bhagavad Gita. That one should serve the Lord according to his nature. That's like Bhagavad Gita 101, Varnashrama 101. And so there are millions, hundreds of millions of parents in India were torturing their children based on some imagination of what the child should be, completely contradictory to the nature of the child. And these children grow up compressed, depressed, repressed, distressed. And all because one didn't stop a minute. Wait a minute. And some devotees do the same. I'm sorry to say. Many devotees do the same. Because that's their culture, where they come from. And they don't do the shift. Okay, they believe Bhagavad Gita. So they may worship Bhagavad Gita, but they don't understand the Bhagavad Gita. They don't understand the book. Shubha, shubha, palayar, evam, moksha se, karma bandha nahi. You do yatras here, right? They're not called shubha yatras, because they are neither shubha nor ashubha. They're just yatras, the absolute yatras. The absolute yatras, spiritual yatras to the abode of the Lord. So they're not shubha. Yeah, they are auspicious spiritually, but not shubha or ashubha. Shubha, ashubha, parityagi. That's the devotee. So we need to understand practically what it means, and we need to be introspective. We need to say, wait a minute. Generally, we are on automatic pilot. You know, automatic pilot. You know, when you fly, the pilot, they're trained, they take off, they reach a cruise altitude, and then they put automatic pilot. And they can go around, and they can do other things. They take a nap often. And the flight goes on automatic pilot. So we should be very careful Devotional service does not work on automatic pilot. So we need to explore our assumptions. And some assumptions, they may be pious, but they're totally karmic. They're karmic assumptions. And they're very deep. And we read the Bhagavad Gita, and because of those assumptions are like a shield. Huh? The Bhagavad Gita doesn't enter. No? Krishna is telling us something. Shubha shubha palayreva mokshase karma bandhaye. We don't get it. We are shielded by these assumptions. So it's very serious. It's a very serious thing. Even if you're pious, even if you follow the regulative principles, even if you chant your 6 rounds. Because you're going to the yatra and you think, this is a Shubha yatra. I get good karma by doing this yatra. I will get a good karma. I will get a beautiful child. But look at the Bhagavata. Look at the Bhagavata. Vasudeva and Devaki. They did so much austerity. You know, they were Sutapa and Prishni and so on and so forth. They got children. Those children got wiped out. 6 children, dead, all after that. Even their own child, they couldn't even enjoy this childhood. And look, I mean, Kunti Devi says, everybody knows, you all heard millions of times. Kunti Devi say, I wish calamities will come again and again. You heard this a million times. But it doesn't go. It doesn't go inside. Because there is the karmic shield. There's a karmic shield. The assumption that any dharma, even Sanatan dharma, has to give good things in this world. Who said? How many of you are initiated? How many of you are initiated? Initiated devotees, please raise your hand. Okay, so a good majority. Did they give you at the time of initiation a contract that says by doing these things you'll get good karma? Did your guru sign that? No. He didn't sign that. You get bhakti, you get prema if you're pretty good. If you're pretty good, you get pretty. That's quite good. Pretty, you have to be pretty good to get pretty. So, but there's no, because it's all shubha shubha phalar evam moksha se karma bandhane. By doing what you're doing now, both your bad karma and your good karma is destroyed. Is that clear? Of course, I'm not saying to put a sign in front of the temple. You step inside, your good karma get destroyed. I'm not saying, but we should know. We should know it. We may not advertise it so much, but this is an internal discussion. We should know it. Otherwise, we are on a different plane. No, we are, you know, following the acharyas, Jai Prabhupada, and Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam, but inside we are still karmis. Any more questions or comments? Anybody, any lady who wants their child to be an engineer? I have something to tell you. Any lady who wants her child to be an engineer, please raise your hand. Nobody wants their son to be an engineer. Wow, this is something really exceptional. Wow. Sure? You sure? What is an engineer? According to Varnashram Dharma. What Varna is that?
Shudra.
Shudra. So you want your son to be a Shudra? Here nobody raised his hand, so no problem. I'm talking for somebody outside the room. So you want That's all you can aspire for your son, to become a Shudra and go work 15 hours, 16 hours a day for some sinful corporation? That's all you want for your child? I mean, come on. I mean, you could try Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, but Shudra? The law, you know, say that's the highest aspiration for your child? Anyway, that's a different discussion. I saw some hand, yeah.
Prabhu, how do we understand some, I don't remember all the scriptural quotations, but I've heard like karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam is one. So there are some places where it is said, like even in Bhagavatam also some places that if you do this, you'll get this results and you know. So how do we reconcile that with, is it that we should not expect, that is from our side, but devotional service will
provide. See, the verse you quoted from the Brahma Samhita, karmani nirdahat, means all your karma gets removed. That's what it means. I mean, the verse you quoted means your karma. But the karma is like a block. It's a block and a blockage. Karma means punarjanma. Karma means you have something to experience in this world. Maybe some pleasure, relative pleasure. You born in some rich family or something, and you have some facilities. You go maybe you have a driver who drives you to the school or something like that. That's a good karma. Aspect of the good, or a bad karma. So that verse you quoted says all the karma gets washed away, because karma is bad. Means it's a credit or a debt to be experienced in this world, the world of death, dukkha layam ashashvatam, the world of pain, the world of temporality. So there might be some scriptural encouragement, like Kartik. We hear about Kartik that gives so much results. And once my spiritual master, Jayaprakash Maharaj, wrote to Srila Prabhupada, but oh, should I do something special in Kartik? And Srila Prabhupada wrote back, and you can see it's in the folio, it's in the Veda base, that letter. It says, actually, these promises are mostly for those who are not practicing devotional service, to entice them to practice devotional service, at least in Kartik. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example. It's like a shop or a chain of shops, they may do some special sale. That's to attract new customers, because the regular customers will shop there anyway. They're regular customers. But to attract new customers, they do special sale. So Kartik, it's for us, it's important, but you study Srila Prabhupada's life. He didn't give special importance to Kartik. He did that month in Vrindavan, 72, he gave those lectures, but he was traveling and preaching, business as usual. Sometimes we hear some devotees hearing, oh, how can you have a meeting in Kartik? But what is the meeting about? If the meeting is to spread Krishna consciousness, to plan the future of the movement, to plan the service to the Vaishnavas, what's the problem? Sometimes I don't understand. Sometimes it's another kind of punya contamination. No, Kartik, we cannot have meetings. What those meetings are about? We're talking about the future of the Hare Krishna movement. You can have 30 days of meeting in Kartik, a special vrata, Kartik vrata, 30 days of meeting. Of course, if you want to take that to chant more rounds and this and that, but it's not really essential. If it was essential, Srila Prabhupada would have done it, right? Would have stopped the whole movement for Kartik and say, everybody chant 64 rounds. He didn't do that. If you want to take some time off, go to Braj, do some special, that's fine. But not because it's Kartik. Like I see when you go to Vrindavan, Kartik, everybody come to Vraja from Kartik becomes totally booked. Everything is full of people, and then the next day they leave Vrindavana, as if Vrindavana had lost its power. The next day Vrindavana has lost its power. Well, Radha Krishna went away or something. So we should be careful. We should be careful. We have to understand for whom are this encouragement. Yes, you want to do a yatra in Kartik, it's great, everybody's focused, Kartik, I have to be focused. I'm not preaching against Kartik, okay? Because don't misquote me. Oh, Conte Das was here, he told us in Kartik we should not have yatras. I'm not saying that. But don't think that if you do that same thing outside Kartik doesn't have value. This is transcendental. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Habinatvam Namanaminu. The holy name is Krishna. Nitya Mukto. It's eternally liberated. It's not only liberated in Kartik. So we should be careful. Otherwise, with the pious mood that, oh, I have to take advantage of Kartik, you're doing an offense to the holy name. Because after Kartik, you feel, maybe now it's not so important. So, yes, there are encouragement for Kartik, okay, if you read this chapter, but we should understand for whom those are. Time is up, or should we take more questions? Is time up? Should we stop here?
Just one small.
Do we incur bad karma if we go on?
Just one small clarification I wanted. This example you gave, very nice, about how shop advertises special sale to attract some new customers.
That's Prabhupada example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it makes a lot of sense. I just wanted to clarify that the Bhagavatam, sometimes the Phalastuti that the Bhagavatam gives, is it also in the same mood to attract new people? Because we also heard that Bhagavatam is Nirmat Saranam, those are free from all material desires, they approach Bhagavatam. So how do we...
Yes, first of all, those are very rare. There are just few chapters that say that. There are very few chapters that say that. But like if you give prasadam to somebody and you say, this prasad is good for health, and it's true, you're not minimizing prasadam. You're just telling them something that they can relate to. And it's very rare in the Bhagavatam. It's a few chapters here and there. It's not every chapter you get the Phalastuti. And also there may be different levels of understanding the Phalastuti. And then you should, maybe you give me some examples, we can discuss what could be the different understandings for different people on different levels of mentality. Like that. There are certain things in the Bhagavatam that some impersonalists read, they think, oh, you see, the Bhagavatam speaks impersonalist philosophy. So different people may get different things, but there are different meanings, just like Lord Chaitanya, or even Srimati Radharani. Somebody reads the Bhagavatam, doesn't find Lord Chaitanya, doesn't find Srimati Radharani. But for somebody who knows, the Bhagavatam talks only about Lord Chaitanya, only about Srimati Radharani. But where is it? I don't know. Where, which page? You follow. By cross-referencing and by understanding the mind of the author of the speakers, you know that this is what the Bhagavan talks about. But other people read it and they don't understand. Where is it? I don't find. So there are many mysteries. And so the Phalastuti, frankly, I didn't study the particular aspect, also because it's a minor aspect, but we can see there may be esoteric meaning to those Phalastutis also.
Actually, one person compiled a book and he bought, which contained all these verses from Bhagavatam, selected verses from Bhagavatam, which says that if you do this, then you get a longer lifespan, then you get this. So those things. I was initially shocked, but of course then I knew that.
So those will attract people who have those desires I mean, if you speak about that, besides the Palashtuti, if you go in the second chapter of the second canto, there's the whole list, there's a block of 7-8 shlokas that Shukadeva Goswami says, if you want a good wife, you should worship Uma. Then if you want power, you know, kingdom, you have to worship Indra. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And then at the end, he says the famous verse, Akama sarvokamova moksha kamo daraditi vrina bhakti yogina yajita purushamparam. So one may stop there and say, oh, the Bhagavatam says this. But that's just like a preview, or just like those are true things, but there is more. So he's talking about that, and then there is more. So we should not stop at that. Or like those examples that Shukadeva Goswami says, by doing prayashitta, you get purified. And Maharaj Parikshit say, but we saw that sometimes it's like a bathing of the elephant. People do punya, and then they become sinful again. How does it work? Shukadeva appreciate, yeah, it's true. It's true. Good point. You got to move on. You got to move to the point in which you don't have any more attraction, neither to punya nor to thing. So we should not stop at the verse or the thing. We should stop. We see the context. And obviously the context is the pure love of God. Dharma projita kaita vutra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Nirmatsaranam satam. One who is free from envy can understand the Bhagavata. But those who are not nirmatsaranam satam, they may say, oh, that's interesting, I get long life. You know? So and then they get exposed and they get attraction for Krishna. So I think we need to close. So this is the basic message. Let's be very careful. Let's analyze our heart, that we are not thinking that we are doing bhakti for some reward in this world. That's a wrong attitude. It's not in the Gita. It's not in the Bhagavatam. It is not our philosophy. It's a karmi. I repeat, karmi. Maybe pious, but it's a karmi mentality. It's a karmi contamination. And we will become also very bewildered and disappointed, because sometimes your karma does not improve. Devotees have car accidents, and maybe the son don't become an engineer, or this or that. So then you become angry at Krishna. If you thought that Krishna was there to give you some mundane blessing, as small as your mind, then you have not understood anything. You have not understood the game. You have not understood what we are doing it. And again, when we see the Bhagavad Gita, see, and the Bhagavatam, the Shikshakshtakam, and all that, we need to see, did I absorb, did I assimilate, did I integrate this mentality? Or I'm still shielded by this karma mood? Thank you very much. Have a great day of Bhakti Yoga. Srimad Bhagavatam Grantaraj Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.